Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
Amen. Glory to God. Well, y'all can be seated this morning. I want to say thank you to the worship team for leading us into His presence this morning. Thank you, Nate, all the worship team. Thank you, brother. So how y'all been this morning or this past week? It seems to me this past week has been like, about a month. I don't know. It's been a real busy week. Excuse me. Should have did it this way. Seems like it's lasted a month. There's been so much stuff going on. And we've got some people out this morning and doing their last minute vacation before school starts up. And I want to start off by saying welcome to all the people that's watching online on Facebook and tell you that we do appreciate you tuning in. I want you to be blessed this morning. And I know if you was in watching any part of the worship service, you've already been blessed. But now we're going to hear from the word of the Lord. And so I just want to say thank you for tuning in. And if you're in this area, please come by and visit us. And we'd love to have you here. Peter and Ashley and the kids are on their way back from Disney World. Now, maybe I should call it Dizzy World. Because after being there for a while, I'm sure that's about the way it is for grown-ups when you're leaving out of there. Dizzy. And I know we have some people, other people out as well. I know Cletus and Elaine is on vacation. They're out of town, and several other families as well. And then we've got some that are at work. I know Bill Hill's wife is and family's out of town as well. Bill's supposed to be at work, but he's sitting on the front row. I hope Bob is tuning in on Facebook so he can see that he's not really sick. He's sitting here on the front row. You're in trouble. You're busted now, okay? Glory to God. You know, made mention earlier, I heard Nate was talking about this technology and all, and I'm just really not one of those that's into a lot of technology. I like electronics and technology as long as I can understand it. But I'll be honest with you, there's so much going on, I have a hard time keeping up with it. And my mother, when she was, in her 70s, you know, Facebook had just come out, and emails and all that kind of, email first and all, and she was just savvy. You know, and I thought, how could she do this? You know, and then Sybil Culp, she used to hate doing anything with a phone, and I'm going to tell you right now, if you need a lesson on how to send any kind of text message with all kind of pictures and all, just get with Sybil. She knows it all. I mean, the woman can do something with that thing. It's amazing. I have no idea. I'm the kind of guy that likes to say, Siri, send message. I don't even want to push the buttons. You know, it's like, but anyway, technology is a blessing. And, you know, one of the greatest blessings that I can see that, you know, in the church and the day that we live in is the fact that we don't have to go up to the sound booth after service and ask for a cassette tape. How many of you know what I mean? Remember when you used to go up there and say, well, I'd like to get a cassette this morning and slip them $5, you know, so we can have the machines running properly. And then we switched over to CDs, and so then it was, a little CD cost. And each time it went down, it was $3 then, you know, for the CD, and because we bought the burner and all. And then it got to where it was a jump drive, you know. And, you know, glory to God, you don't even have to carry any of that stuff. Now you can just get it on your telephone on a podcast. And, you know, it's important that we hear the word. Because I know that a lot of times you hear something when you're sitting there, but if you go back and listen to it again, you'll hear something else. And I believe that any time that you purpose in your heart that you want to hear from God, you'll hear from Him. But if you just purpose in your heart just to show up, there's no telling what you're listening to. Amen? I've spent some services like in church services like that before where I showed up growing up and I counted window panes and light fixtures and a lot of things and never got anything out of church. But just in case you start counting the lights in the ceiling this morning or the ceiling tiles, you can flip over to the podcast and get it later. Amen? Okay. Last week I made mention when I was receiving the offering that this week I was going to minister or begin a message series or whatever on how to prosper in a world that doesn't want you to prosper. How many of you realize that the world really doesn't want you to prosper? And I'm not talking about people in the world, because I don't really think people really care one way or another if you prosper or not. If you prosper, who knows, they may get something from you. Maybe that's how they see it. But I'm talking about the world system. The Babylonian system of this world is not set up for you to make it. It's set up to take it from you. That's what socialism is and communism. It's set up to take away from you to give to somebody else. And God's system is not set up that way. Matter of fact, God's system is set up in a way that if you give away anything, He's going to cause it to come back to you in greater denominations than you ever gave out. But socialism is not. Babylonian system of this world is not geared up or set up in any way to prosper you. It's to take from you. And this morning I want us to look into the Word of God. I tell you one thing that I'll be 65 in another month. And I just want you to know something. I've never met not one person in my 65 years that ever said, you know what my greatest desire is? And that is to be poor. I've never met anybody that wanted to be poor. I've never met anybody that says, you know, I just wish I could go broke. I wish we could just go bankrupt. I wish my car would tear up or my house would go under or catch on fire. Never have heard anybody desire to be broke. But you know what? There's a lot of people that are hurting financially. They don't want it. They don't want to, but they are. Marcia and I were in that situation for years, that we were living week to week, or maybe I say day to day a lot of the time. But we didn't want to. But we did when we got saved. We started looking, what did God's Word say about it? And we began to see that God didn't want us living that way either. And we begin to understand that our Heavenly Father has so much to offer. Y'all do understand that His kingdom doesn't have an end. So what does His kingdom consist of? Everything. You know, I mean, if the roads are made with gold and not paved with gold, would there be any gold in heaven? Well, sure it would be. Is it part of the kingdom? It's part of the resources of heaven. There would be no end to His gold. There'd be no end to His silver. There's no end to anything. How many of you realize there's no end to body parts in heaven? Matter of fact, I think when we get to heaven, He's going to walk by and say, it's kind of like that farmer's commercial. You know, you ever see that one about the thing and it shows a guy with a windshield, maybe with a drone stuck in it? You remember those commercials? And they say, you know, basically we've seen it all. You know what I'm saying? And it walks through, and they've got this museum of all these things that's happened. How many of you realize when we get to heaven, there's probably going to be a museum there of all the things that you ever desired for and wanted so badly but never got? But it was there all along. New hearts for people that needed a new heart. New arms or legs or organs in their body. It was there all along. God had already provided it. We know that He's provided healing, is that not true? Well, then it's already been done. Everything that you'll ever have need of in life has already been provided. God's not going to get up and do anything. He said after the sixth day, He rested because everything was finished. And so in our mentality, sometimes we think that we got to get God up and get Him moving and doing something so that we can receive, you know, what we have need of, when the truth is He's already provided what we have need of. We just have a hard time receiving what He's already done because we don't think that way. And so this morning I want to challenge you to think a little differently, or actually maybe to, for the rest of your life, to start thinking a little differently. That's what had to happen in my life. I had to renew my mind to what did God say. And, you know, how many of you realize that God doesn't have a problem with you having any money? He just has a problem when money has you. Okay, because then money has become your God instead of Him. See, God doesn't have a problem with you having something. He set it up so that you could have something. The other day we had a delivery come. I had ordered some new basketball goals to put out on the playground for the kids. And so when I went to the department store, they had some there, but they were cheaper if you bought them online than they were if you picked them up. And I thought, well, now, I'm standing in the same store, and I was thinking, well, maybe if I go ahead and order online, they'll say, just pick it up, you're already there. But they didn't. Imagine that. So I asked the lady, I said, well, you know, it's right here, it says right here, you know, clearance, right here, this is the price. She says, only if you get it online. I looked at it, and I said, well, for $100, I'll just have them deliver it to us for free, and I won't even load it in the truck. So that's what I did. Well, they showed up the other day with these two basketball goals, and they were pretty heavy anyway. But Ira's putting them together for me. And he spent some time in there yesterday working on that. But he's putting them together. And so when the guy showed up, guess what? The fella jumped out of his truck. You know, it was a big, giant truck. You know, he jumps out, and he walks around. And he's looking, you know, trying to figure out where to go to and all. And he looks up, and he sees me. And he gets this big grin. I hadn't really recognized who he was, but he recognized who I was. And he begins coming up, and he's walking up to me. Hey, how you doing? And all this. And it's somebody that I met when I was going to the food bank all the time. He had a long time ago worked at the food bank in Montgomery, stocking shelves and doing different things down there, moving product around and keeping up some records and stuff like that. And we got to talking. I said, so what are you doing? I said, is this your second job? He says, no. He said, this is my job now. I said, really? He said, yeah, I own the business. He owns his own trucking business now. Can you imagine that? Now, you know, this man loves God. We used to stand under and talk about God and things of God. And this man loves God. And here it is. God has blessed this man from stocking shelves to owning his own business. Now, he has somebody working for him. Can you imagine that? And he's riding shotgun with him. And this guy was just standing there soaking up mine and his conversation about the things of God. And I knew right away, this is kind of new to this fella. And so we're standing there talking, and I said, I just want you to know something. I said, you know, it doesn't stop now that you got this business. I said, you know, we were talking about some things, and I gave him a word that the Lord had put in my heart to give to him. And one of the things I shared with him was, I said, you realize that this business here is not your source. The amount of money that you can make off this business is not your source. Now, God will use this business to cause money to come to you, but this business is not your source. Now, that other guy's kind of looking at him, you know, and seeing how he was going to respond. I said, let me tell you something. Don't you ever, ever, ever limit God to a particular person, a business, or anything else. Now, God will use the place of your employment to cause money to come to you. But that's not the only way that you're to get blessed through while living here on earth. God will cause things to come to you through people and other means of Holy Ghost-inspired ideas. But if all you can think on is that your place of employment is your source, then you have limited God down to just that one thing. Really? You have limited him. It's kind of, I heard one person say a long time ago, been many, many years ago, he said that he had a problem with a race of people that was of a different race than his. He said, and this is probably about 40 years ago, and God really got on him about it. And he says, well, Lord, you know, and he got over all that. He'd been hurt and offended by some things. And just in case you're wondering, it was a black person was mad at the white people, wasn't the other way around. So anyway, what took place was, he says, because of your prejudiceness against them, you're prejudiced against an entire race of people, and because of it, that whole race of people can't bless you. Now, how many of you want to be prejudiced against a whole race of people? That means none of them can ever bless you because of that. And so that just really opened his eyes up to some things. He says some of his greatest friends now are white people. Biggest people. He'd rather, you know, to him there is no race now, which is a good thing. But how many of you know it works whether you're white or you're black or you're brown? It doesn't make any difference about the color of your skin. If you are prejudiced against an entire race of people, those people can't bless you. So here he was. He just eliminated a whole lot of folks, a whole lot of way that God could get something to him. Now, see, when you begin to look at your business or your employment as your source, What happens in that is that you have now limited God down just to that one place. And that's not good because, see, God's got many avenues to get it to you. Do you realize that your job will never, ever be able to pay you enough to meet all of your needs? I don't care how much money you make. How many of you would be happy with $1 million a year for salary? Oh, a lot of hands ought to go up. Some of you just flat out greedy. You want more than that. Or sleep, one or the other. But nevertheless, $1 million ought to make you pretty happy. But how many of you realize that $1 million won't bring you peace? Huh? So when you begin to look and see that your employment or your employer or wherever you work, no matter how much they pay you, you're not going to be prosperous if you just look at them. You're limiting God from having any other way to get something to you. I did it for years. And then when I realized what was taking place, I said, I've got to take the ropes off. Because I'm bound now to only that person. And you know what happens? If they don't give you a raise, you're mad at them. Now you're mad at the very person who is providing you with an income. So how are they now going to prosper you even more? Because, see, you're really prejudiced towards them. Now, but when you take that off and say, you know what, now God's my source. And a lot of times people think that, well, that just goes for preachers. Well, is God your source or is he just the preacher's source? Isn't he everybody's source? Well, sure. So if he's everybody's source, then we have to stop and look and say, okay, now I've got to look to the Lord to meet my needs and not to the man or to the business or whatever. Because you know how many of you realize that businesses go through things, different things in the economy, will rise and fall, and businesses are, well, we got to cut back, we've got to do this, we got to do that. So it's going up and down on cycles. How many of you want to live your life on a roller coaster? You will if you look to people. You will if you look to your job as your source. You will always live on a roller coaster ride. You'll be up one day and down the next. Did we not just experience that in the last 15, 16 years or longer? With 2008, everything went down. We was on that spiraling down at Six Flags, going down, down, down on that roller coaster, right? And we went down for how long? For quite some time. It was like a ride for like 7 years down. And then all of a sudden we took a turn and we went up for 7 years of prosperity. Things turning around. And I asked the Lord about that. I said, Lord, now what's next? And he shared some things with me. I might share them with you this morning. But I want you to understand that God is your source, not man. Not your boss, not the government. The government's not your source. They can cut you off. God better be your source. And if he's your source, then you don't have any reason to get mad at people. Because people aren't holding you back. It's your thinking that's holding you back. Because your thinking says, I got to get it from them. I got to get it from this one. God says, I'm your source. Get it from me. Now, I didn't like hearing this. I was in the ministry. I didn't much care to hear it. But you know, when I left the hospital back in 84, and I was riding up to Interstate 65, God had told me to go in there and take the money out of what I had in the credit union and pay Sears off. Anybody ever owed Sears? You hadn't lived unless you've owed Sears. I take that back. You haven't died unless you've owed Sears. Because they don't ever quit. They said it's revolving. It's really evolving. Interest rates constantly. I mean, you just keep going down, down, down. And, you know, it started off with a $5 a month washing machine payment. Next thing I know, it was 10 years later. I still hadn't paid it off. Thank God he used to make stuff that lasted. Well, I'd been paying two of them on the same revolving charge card. But nevertheless, I went in there and I said, you know, I was saying, Lord, you know, he said, pay them off. And I'm like, well, that's going to take all this money. And he said, it wasn't yours anyway. It belonged to them. And I got to thinking about it and said, well, you know, he's right. Imagine that, God being right. See, I thought it was my money because I had it in my savings account. And the only way Sears could get it is if I gave it to him. But nevertheless, I still owed it to him. Owed it to him first of each month. I had to give him some money. And he said, go pay him off. And so I did, and I'm riding up the Interstate 65, and I said, Lord, I took everything. He says, yep, but now you're free. He said, I want you to stay that way the rest of your life. I want you to be free from that credit card. Don't ever do that again. I said, yes, sir. And we've been able to, since 84, we haven't paid any credit card interest at all. How many of you know that puts some money in your pocket? I read last week where the average family owes like $8,500 in credit card bills that they can't pay back. And they're paying $1,140 a year in interest on that money. I thought, wow. He said, yeah. He said, that's where my church is living also. My church is living in a place where they're paying Babylon for what I should have been able just to get to them if they would have just chose to do it my way. Now, Nate touched on it a minute ago when he said we're going to have to change some of our spending habits. Well, I'm here to tell you, first of all, we have to change the way we think. If God's our source, we need to look to him and not to the credit card. He will give you strategies. How many of you would reward your children if they were doing right? And it was within your ability? Sure you would. Then why wouldn't God reward you? If you made your decision, made up your mind, I'm going to do things God's way. He will. But not only do you just make a choice, a decision, you have to walk it out. Amen? And so as I was going down the road, I said, you know, Lord, I was thinking about this and that. And the Lord says, wait a minute. And the next thing that came to my mind was the fact that I'm fixing to go up here and I didn't know if the church could really afford for me to be on staff. And the thought came, I wonder if I could get with him and ask him if I could look at the checkbook. Just a thought. And that's when the Lord spoke to me. He says, did you ask Baptist Medical Center if you could see their checkbook? Did you ask Auburn Electric if you could see their checking account? Did you ask, and he kept on and on, took me all the way back. I wanted him to stop after the very first one, but he didn't. And he kept going back, all the way through there. He says, how is it you want to check my books? And I was like, I'm sorry. He says, first of all, he said, you're not going up there to work for that organization up there called New Life Church. He said, you're going to work for me. Yeah, I'm going to use New Life Church to help meet your needs. He said, but I'm your source and always have been. You've always had it wrong thinking that you live by what other people could do for you. Then he went on to say, because I was only getting $169 a week by coming here. He says, if you look to those people, you will be angry with them. You will be mad at them. If you look to them to meet your needs, they will disappoint you. They will be angry with you. You'll be mad all the time. He said, but if you look to me instead of to them, he said, you won't have any reason to be mad at them because they didn't hire you to start with. Well, that set me free a little bit. But I didn't understand any of it because, see, in my thinking was it was still, what can the church do? And how many of you realize that the church is not the building but the people in the building? So if the people in the church, the church building here, if they were the church and they were, I'm going up there, then it has to be that way. Many, many churches, their pastors and their pastoral staff still think that way of what is it that I can do to get the people to give so that we can have. I remember well that when we first came here, we got paid on Monday. That's kind of a strange thing, isn't it? Most people pay on what? Friday, right? First or the 15th. We got paid on Monday because we had to see what came in on Sunday, to see if we were going to get paid on Monday. So it was bad. But when you start changing the way you begin to see things, it doesn't make any difference. God's going to see to it that it comes. And we lived, and it was tight for a long time that way because I was in the process of God doing something in our lives. Are you hearing me? And in that process, we ended up going to another place after 11 years of being here called Canaan Land. Now, when we went to Canaan Land Ministries, I'm going to tell you what took place. Brother Mac and I and Marcia and Sandra, we all went out to eat one night. And Brother Mac sat there, and as we were sitting there talking, he said, I tell you what. He said, I will believe God for this amount of money if you will believe God for the rest. And I thought, okay. I had no idea what that meant. In my mind, I thought he said, I will give you this much money and you'll have to believe for the rest. But he didn't say that. He said, I will believe for this much. But I didn't catch that part. I just assumed that he was going to have that to give me. But he didn't have anything. He said, I'm going to have to believe God just like you are, just so you can have anything. And I thought, boy, that's not good. And I found that out like 2 weeks after I'd got there that he didn't have anything to give me. And I'm riding into work that day, and I said, Lord, this is not right. This is not what I agreed to. He said, yeah, it was. And I'm riding up through there, and I said, well, what am I going to do? They don't have any money to give me that they said they was going to give me. What am I going to do? He said, you're going to do what my word says. That's what you're going to do. And I'm thinking, okay. He said, you're going to start thinking like I told you to think, like you learned that you're not doing. You're going to start speaking the way I told you to speak, like you do, but you don't really believe it. Okay, he was really getting on to me as I was going up County Road 165. He was saying to me, he said this, he says, and the thought came, well, what will happen if I don't? Anybody ever thought something like that when God's talking to you? He knows that thought, so he answered it real quick, like he said, you won't make it. I'm like, I won't make it? He said, no, sure won't. He said, and it won't be my fault, it'll be yours. Because you know what to do, you're just not doing it. Well, you know what? He wasn't being mean and ugly to me. He was being manly to me, a father to me, telling me the truth. How many of you know there's times in your life where, you need somebody to get down there and just pat you on the back, but what we really need is some truth, because otherwise we're going to stay in that mess. And so over the next 6 years, guess what I had to learn to do? Really live by faith. Because everything that we got just came in the mail. We didn't have a product to sell. We didn't have church services where we received offerings. It was okay, God. And I'm going to tell you something. Coming back here 19 years ago, I didn't come back here to see what I could get from a group of people that was sitting out there. God, I had learned they don't have enough. And if they did, it still wouldn't be enough. I also learned some other things that when you're walking in obedience to God, anybody here walking in obedience? Some of you probably sitting here saying, well, whatever happened to the delivery guy? I'm getting to him. And so I looked at the delivery man, and I told him this very truth. I said, you do realize well, I don't know, I might not go there yet. When we're dealing with monies, it gets always back to the presence of God. I want to go back to say this so I don't forget this. Last week when I was taking up the offering, receiving it, I had made mention that Deuteronomy 8:18 says that it's God who gives us power or the ability to get wealth so that his covenant can be established throughout all the earth. Y'all remember, well, those that were here, remember that? Well, verse 17, it starts back in verse 10, and it starts going over the fact that when all these things start coming on you, all the blessings of God, and you've got more food than you can eat, more water than you can drink, you got more cattle than you can handle, and more clothing, and you got this and you got that. He said, don't forget me. How many of you know that there's a tendency to forget God when you don't have any needs? And you start saying, well, you know, I don't need God anymore. I've seen it happen many times. And so I had told this young driver, I said, let me explain something to you. I said, you know, are you doing what God said to do? And he says, oh, yeah, God gave me this business. I said, he gave you this business. Yeah. I said, so you're a truck driver now. Yeah. I own my own business. I said, that's good. I said, should you be penalized for being in the middle of God's will? If this is what God's called you to do and called you to be, should you be penalized? He said, stood there and looked at me a minute. I said, if he put you in this position, did he say because you are now being obedient to me, you can't have anything? Does that even make sense? Why would God penalize you for being obedient? He won't. But we can put it in our mindset, well, unless we're a doctor or a lawyer or a thief, we can't really have anything. Well, what a lot of people think. They think, well, I've got to do this or I won't have anything. God didn't say that. I say, I'm a firm believer that we need good tradespeople. But just because you're walking in whatever God called you to be, an electrician, then be the best electrician. But just because you're walking right smack dab in the middle of God's will doesn't mean that you can't be blessed above and beyond what your employer can do for you. Are you hearing me? Why should you be penalized? You shouldn't be. We penalize ourselves through ignorance of what God said. So as I was sharing this with this guy, and he was just soaking it in, the guy standing next to me was really soaking it in, his helper. He started really getting a hold of some of this. He liked it. Because he realized, I'm not making but minimum wage, but I don't have to look to him anymore. I can get more. God can bless me if this is where I'm supposed to be. How many of you ever said, yeah, God gave me this job? Huh? How many of you got mad at that job? Got mad at everybody that was out there on that job. But you had already gone before when you got the job and told everybody how God opened the door for it. Huh? And how he worked it all out for it to happen. And now, that's a sorry place. Well, so God just put you in a sorry place, huh? Or maybe it's your attitude that became sorry because you got your eyes off of him and got it on what you don't have. You hearing me? So anyway, we're going to get to the message in a minute. Do y'all remember over in Genesis chapter 14, the four kings had come down on the five cities there, and Sodom and Gomorrah and Zoar and the other two cities. And they come down there and captured Lot, Abraham's nephew. And they took him off into captivity and took all the riches and everything that was there, all the cattle and everything, and took them off. And because of time's sake, I'm going to just paraphrase it. Abraham went and heard about it, and he took his 318 guys that he had trained to fight. He had his own army. And he took them, and he went out, and he captured back the king and all the people and all the goods from those four kings. Now, he had gotten two other tribes of people that were alliance with him to go with him to help, but he was the main resource. And so they went and got it all, and it says there Melchizedek came to him. The priest Melchizedek came to him with bread and with wine, and they were going to have communion. And it said the king of Sodom came too. And Melchizedek blessed Abraham, and Abraham gave his tithe to him. And the king says, Abraham, why don't you just keep everything and just let me have the people back? And you know what Abraham said? He says, no, I ain't keeping nothing. I'm not taking anything from you. I won't even take a shoestring from you. Because what you'll say and what people will think is that you made me rich and not God. Think about that. Abraham wasn't looking to enrich himself by this king. It rightfully, every bit of it was his. But he said, no, you're not going to tell to anybody. And that was a temptation there. And the Bible would not have been able to say that Abraham, you would look and say, well, you know, after that big victory he got, he became rich. He was rich way before that. But do you realize that before that, in just two chapters earlier, but it's a little bit of time had passed by, he left Ur of the Chaldeans with only what he could put on a wagon or on a horse or a donkey or whatever. Him and Sarah, 75 years old, left town because he had a word from God. And took Lot with him, his dad, and they went to Haran, was there for about 5 years. His dad passed away. He was gone about 5 years. Dad passed away. And it says that when he left Haran, he left with all these possessions and the souls of people with him. In other words, he had people that was employed with him. But he left, didn't have anything. And then it says he went down to another place and he dwelt there in Egypt and he came back out of it. And it says that when him and Lot came back, before they captured Lot, when they came back that they had so much, and Lot had so much that the servants were fighting each other. All of Abraham's servants that watched over his cattle and all were fighting with Lot's servants and his cattle. Where did all these people come from? Because he was willing to follow after God and walk with God, the presence of God caused prosperity to come. You see, true prosperity comes from walking with God. I'll say that again. True prosperity comes from walking with God. Doesn't come by how much money you make. It comes by walking with God. And so they had so much stuff that they had to split up and go in separate ways. And we know what Abraham did. He continued to walk with God. And although Lot was righteous, he didn't continue to walk with God. He looked out over the plains and decided he's going to stay right there. It looked good to him. He was thinking with his worldly thoughts, how I can enrich myself and be easier on me, and Abraham was not. How many of you know that Jacob, when he had left fleeing for his life from Esau, did the same thing Abraham did? He left everything. Now, Abraham had Isaac, and they were multimillionaires, or we could say like billionaires now. And he left there, and Isaac was his son, Abraham's son, and he had Esau and Jacob, and they got into a feud when they were about 60, and Jacob had to run for his life, okay? So Jacob left, and he didn't get to take the bank account with him. He didn't get to take the American Express card. He couldn't take a Visa card. He took what clothes was on his back and maybe a packed lunch, and that was it, fleeing for his life. Because Esau said, when Daddy dies, I'm going to kill you. That's what he said. But he had the blessing on his life. But he really didn't know God as God, his God. He knew God as his daddy's God. And so as they left and he went, he had a dream one night. And in that dream, God said several things to him. And he said, God, if you will do what you said, if you will make a way for me to go back home again in peace, if you'll feed me and clothe me and take care of me and do all these things, I'm going to give you 10% of everything I get, and you will be my God. Well, it's quite obvious he wasn't his God or he wouldn't have said that. But now he's saying, if you'll do this, this is what's going to happen. So guess what happened? 14 years go by. He's now married with two wives, two concubines, and 11 kids, and one on the way. 14 years. He's still working and has nothing. No income, no nothing but children. He's got a whole lot of liabilities and not any assets. Yet here it is, Rachel bears a son, and, you know, she's pregnant again. So he goes to Laban. His years of fulfillment of his two wives have come. And he goes to Laban, and he says, Laban, he says, it's time for me to leave and to go back home. I want to go back home and start, you know, building up a place so we can have our own place and so forth. And Laban says, oh, please, 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 please don't leave. If I have learned anything, it's that I am become rich because of you being here and the blessing that's on your life. He said, you just name your price, and I'll give it to you. And Jacob looked at him and said, I I will work for you again under one condition. And he gave him the conditions. He says, I'll work again for you for all of the spotted and speckled and striped and all these things. He said, I'm going to go out here and remove everything that even looks like what I'm about to work for. So when my day comes, I'll leave here with what I got, and it'll be an impossibility for it to ever be there. In other words, he says, you're not going to make me rich. I'm going to be rich, and I'm going to get it from you. That's what he was really saying. But you, and ain't nobody else going to ever say they made Jacob rich. He says, so here's how I'm going to do it. He said, we're going to remove everything that even resembles what I'm about to work for. I imagine the very next day he was probably like, God, what have I done? Look out over the sheep. There ain't one out there that's striped or spotted or speckled. And of course, Laban's sitting back saying, I got him now. He's going to work for me all the days of his life. He ain't never leaving here. He got me some free labor forever. But because he was obedient to do what God said, and we may get into this at another time, he left out of there 6 years later with everything, except the poor, the weak, and the sickly. Those belong to Laban. Where did he get that from? Because he remembered what his granddaddy did. He said, you're not going to make me rich. I'm going to be rich, but you're not going to do it. We see that his daddy, when he left after Abraham died, it says that Isaac went down to Gerar, and it was a famine in the land, so he goes down there in a famine. That means hunger. That means, I mean, think about with a famine that it'd probably be no rain. Isn't that right? Probably things are drying up, no food, especially back in those days. The sheep and all those people, all the animals and all the livestock didn't have anything to eat. Said there was a famine in the land. And it says that here he was down there, and it says that Isaac sowed in the midst of a famine and reaped that same year a hundredfold return. Do you think in your mind that every afternoon about 3, a rain cloud appeared over his ground and showered down upon his little field, and he grew crops and was the only man out there that had any food to sell? Is that what you think? Or could you look at it? He said he sowed seed. Now, what type of seed did he sow? Could he have went down there and said, listen, I see that you got your sheep on sale today because there's no grass for them to eat. I tell you what, I'll buy them. How many of you know you get a real good deal in a situation like that? Now, Mike over here, he's got cattle. When the cattle prices are up, you sell. But if you ain't got any, if you're going to fix them to feed all those cows all through the winter, well, that's fixing to be a liability to you, not an asset, right? So it's time to sell. So here it is. Isaac, I believe, was buying up a lot of things, but it wasn't seed like he put in the ground. It was with money. He bought up a whole lot of stuff. He received a hundredfold return that year. To me, that's a lot easier to understand. I asked God about this, and he said, what makes you think he was out there sowing seed and had a little rain cloud every afternoon? You see how we can think sometimes? See, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you things to do with monies that you wouldn't really think about on your own. And because of it, he received a hundredfold return that year. So these guys were walking with God. How many of you know that if God comes and sits in your tent with you and has lunch, with his angels, I mean, you must be, you know, walking with God. And that because of that, see, God reveals things to you. Being in God's perfect will not restrict your income. It only opens the windows of heaven. I'll say it again. Being in God's perfect will does not restrict your income. It only opens the windows of heaven. Now, on Friday, I was out here Friday morning blowing off the parking lot. And how many of you know that when there's not much traffic in a parking lot and seeds fall out there in the ground, the wind blows seeds, and there'll be stuff grows in cracks. You know, how many of you ever seen weeds growing up in our parking lot? Began to look like that because Peter and Tyler were spending their time cutting the grass that grows in the fields like they're supposed to. Now, I've probably gotten on to them if I'd have saw them out in the parking lot riding around with a lawnmower. But nevertheless, there was weeds starting to grow up in the parking lot in the little cracks and crevices, and I'm out there blowing it off, and I see the sand and getting it all cleaned off and everything, and I'm seeing everywhere I turn little weeds growing up. And the Lord said to me, he says, "Them weeds out there growing in the parking lot, aren't they?" I said, "Yeah, they sure are." He said, "You know the best place for those weeds to grow?" And I thought, "Yeah, right here in this parking lot." I said, "Where's that?" And he said, "In good ground." And I thought, "Say that again, Lord." He said, "The best place for weeds to grow is in good ground." How many people here is good ground? Yeah. Y'all can raise your hands. You're good ground, aren't you? If not, you're hard-packed wayside ground. Which one you going to be? Or you're stony ground. I hope ain't none of you stone. Or you're full of thorns and briars and weeds. Okay? And you're choking everything. So I assume that you're good ground. So the best place for a weed to grow is in you. I mean, the soil is a lot better condition for a weed to grow, but we don't want to plant weeds. So what are you doing with your field? Well, you're planting something in it. Either you're planting God's word in it, or you're planting fear in it. You're planting lack in it. You're planting all kind of other stuff in your field, or you're planting God's word in your field. Because you're good soil. Now here's the thing, that what you're planting is going to come up. And if something comes up in your field that's not supposed to be there, you're supposed to take it out. Pull it up, get rid of it. If not, it's going to choke out the good stuff. Now, what if you just sit back and say, "Well, I'm not going to plant anything. I mean, I've got plenty." And you don't do a thing, guess what you're going to have to do when it's time to start planting out there again? You're going to have to get rid of every bit of that mess that's out there. Right? Well, in the process of planting your field, even when you don't want any weeds there, the wind has a way of blowing in weed seeds. I never planted any weeds in my garden, but they came up. Birds will fly over and make deposits into your field. That's a nice way of saying that they're helping out. The rain, this seems like they're going to find its way into your field because it wants to be in good ground too. And you have to remove those things. And if you don't remove it, it's taken away from you. Okay? As good as television can be, it can take away from you. As good as the internet can be, it can take away from you. As good as a lot of things can be, it can be a weed and take away from you. But nothing can replace being in His presence. When you're in His presence, He begins to reveal things to you that is off the charts. He'll reveal to you how precious you are to Him. He'll reveal to you secrets of things that's going to take place in the future. He'll show you things and what to do and how to invest. He showed Isaac what to do on his sowing of his seed. That's the God that we serve. But you're not going to catch that watching Fox News. You're not going to, I mean, if you're going to watch one, I'd rather watch that one. But you're not going to get it off of looking at Yahoo News. There's nothing wrong with these things, but you need to realize, where should you be getting your news of what took place or what you should be doing in the future? You better be getting it from the Lord. And see, when you're walking with God, and you're walking and talking and fellowshipping with Him, you know what He does? He does just what we said. He'll come, as it said in chapter 14 there in Genesis, and He sat down. Abraham was out there in the tent, and he saw the Lord coming and two angels. They looked, well, they said it was men, walking up to him. And so they came up there and they were conversing. He said, hey, listen, let me go kill a calf. Let me, you know, a kid, make it, dress it all up, and let Sarah be making some stuff, and we're going to have lunch. And God said, okay, we'll do that. That's what you want to do, we'll do it. How many of you know God's really not that hungry, but if you want to eat, he'll eat. He doesn't mind breaking bread with you and having communion. So they said, okay, we'll wait. So all of that process got done. You know, Sarah didn't throw anything in the microwave. So it took some time to go kill it, clean it, process, do all the stuff to get this food there. So they're sitting there talking all this time. And so they got through, and it said that Abraham, that they were departing, and Abraham walked with them. He didn't just say, well, I'll see y'all later. He knew who they were, because it was God who told him, said, you're fixing to have a son. And so he went walking with them, and they got to a certain place, probably overlooking down there at Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord said to the other ones, he said, should I keep from Abraham what I'm about to do, seeing that he is in partnership, basically, or a covenant with me? Should I keep from him what I'm about to do? How many of you know what he was about to do was destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and those cities? And he said to them, should I keep it from him? Should God keep from you the information that you have need of, seeing that you're in covenant with him? But if you don't have time to hear it, if you don't make the time and say, well, Lord, I'll see you later, I'm going to go watch 60 minutes, you might be better off giving him 60 minutes. Are you hearing me? And if you'll do that, he'll begin to show you things to take place in the future. And if not, it doesn't have to be foretelling the future. Maybe things for you to do to prepare for something you don't even know is fixing to happen. Are you hearing me? Because a lot of times what you need to do is be, you don't need the big picture. You just need to be doing the simple obedience of where you are. You don't need to understand all the economic things that's taking place in the world. What you need to know is, okay, Lord, after all that, what do I do? Well, let him do that from the start. Just let him tell you what you ought to be doing so you'll be able to do it. And so that's one of the things that walking with God will benefit you by doing. He will reveal to you things that's going to take place. So I was out there walking out there, like I said, in the parking lot with those weeds. And this particular verse came to me in 1 Timothy 6:9. It says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and unto many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while they covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through many sorrows. It says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation. How many of you realize that poor people fall into temptation too? I think they probably fall in more temptation than the rich people do. Because now they're sitting around thinking, okay, who can I steal from? How can I swindle something? How can I defraud the government? How can I do all these things? A rich man doesn't think that. The rich man's thinking about the ski trip to Switzerland, or you know, which yacht to buy, all these kind of things. Oh, he's going to fall into temptation, but so is the poor man. And it says into a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. It says, for the love of money, didn't say money, but the love of it is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith. What was the faith? The faith is that God is my source, not that money, not that employment, not that business. They're not my source. God's my source. See, they've erred from the faith. What does that word faith mean? Trust. They've erred from trusting God to trusting in riches, trusting in their smartness, their education, instead of trusting in the living God who knows tomorrow and forever and knows how you think, knows how you're going to respond, knows everything about you. He already knows. That's page one. It says, now what? But it does say this. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that it has to be that way. That money, well, now it's raining, you don't want to get wet, so we'll just go for another hour. Nowhere does it say that it has to end the way of many sorrows. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man, but God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. There is a way of escape from every single temptation. So if you are rich, there's going to be temptations, but you don't have to be tempted. I mean, you don't have to take it. If you're poor, there's going to be temptations, but you don't have to take it. There's a way out of it. What way is it? God's your source. Quit being tempted to look for what you can do, and quit being tempted to look at what other people can do. Begin to look and see what God can do. And now next week we're going to pick up about this walk with God. Because all prosperity, and I'm going to show it to you through the Word, that your prosperity, and I'm talking about total prosperity, I'm talking about finances, but I'm talking about your peace, your health. How many of you know that you can have $1 million, but if you're sick and can't enjoy any of it, it's no fun? All total prosperity, true prosperity, is going to be based all on your walk with God. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. And you will prosper accordingly. I've met a lot of people that God has blessed because they were doing what was right. Guess what happens? They start getting blessed, and you know what? They quit walking with God, started walking in the enjoyment of the riches. And that's where people come up with these doctrines that aren't true, that money's evil. Money's not evil. It doesn't have a conscience at all. And if you think yours does, just leave it up here. I'll pick it up later. If you got money, we won't go there. Well, let's just go ahead and close up. Let's see. I will give you something to think about. How many of you know that there's something that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Job, David, and many others had in common? They prospered. They had so much money they didn't know what to do with, but there's something else they had in common. And that is, the Bible says that they walked with God. They walked with God. There is no difference between any of these men than you and I. Not one bit. They made a decision that they're going to walk with God. They made a decision that I'm going to believe God's word. I'm not going to look to what man can do for me. I'm going to look at my source, which is God. I may not understand everything that's going on, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to trust Him more than I'm going to trust anybody else. Amen? With every head bowed and eye closed, nobody looking around. You may be here this morning, and you've been looking to your employment as your source. You've been looking to the government to be your source. You've been looking at a lot of things, but you hadn't been looking to God. You've been complaining to God and asking God to bless you. And if you find yourself that that's where you've been, just own up to it and say, that's where I've been, but I don't have to stay there. From now on, God's going to be my source. I'm going to be thankful for the place that He's causing revenue to come in, but I'm not going to limit Him any longer to that being my only income. Because God is my source. If that's you this morning, make that in your heart declaration. Say it to yourself. Get in the mirror when you get home and say, no more will you live this way. I'm not living by what man can give me any longer. I'm going to live by what God can do for me. You may be here this morning and you've got some things. You're not hurting financially, but what you are hurting is for peace. You're hurting for peace. And you can't get enough money to bring you peace. and you've walked with God in times past, and it's been like that roller coaster, up and down, up and down. It doesn't have to be that way anymore. You can say, no, I'm going to walk with God today, and I'm going to walk with Him in the morning, and I'm going to walk with Him tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to walk with Him Tuesday, I'm going to walk with Him Wednesday and Thursday, and from now on, every day, the rest of my life, I'm going to walk with Him. It's a decision that you make. It's a decision. And Lord, I just bless the people today. As they leave, let them begin to meditate on the fact of what does that walk incur? What does it mean to walk with God? Lord, I speak and declare blessings on them that they will be able to understand that if they're going to walk with God, they're going to have to walk in the same direction. If they're walking in a different direction, they're not walking with God, and it doesn't make any difference how much they may tell people, they're not. So Lord, let the revelation sink down deep within them. Either they're walking with God or they're not. Lord, we'll thank You right now, and I declare blessings upon them as they go. Thank You for this rain. Thank You for this week. And I declare blessings on this week for them and their families. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. We'll be back Wednesday. Well, tomorrow night we have prayer. Then Wednesday, School of the Word, and the kids will be doing all their things in the different places. When is Waymakers thing? Is that this week? Huh? The 18th? Okay, well, maybe we can do it twice. Yeah. Well, we can be dismissed. I'll see y'all next week. We'll pick back up here.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.